Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome into the Turning Point podcast for LeGrand School District. We're here. I'm your host, Brett Smith. I'm here with Assistant Superintendent Scott Carpenter. I got Letha Canfield here, Chris Levitt. We'll get into them here in just a minute, but we're excited about today and the episode we got. Scott, how's your day today, man?
Man, it was an adventure. I was all over the place. Got to spend some quality time at Greenwood. Got to spend some quality time with my friends at the middle school, and then visited with families here at district office. It was a good day.
Good deal. Yeah, we had a good day too. A lot of adventures today. Won't get into too many of those, but it was eventful on the kindergarten through fifth grade front out at Island City. But we
before we go too far, yeah. Like I am going to poke you a little bit.
Yeah,
like we get to fly these airplanes, these school buildings, mm-hmm. like. We think we're good with staff mid year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many staff, like, actually, like, from start of the school year to the end of the school year, like, are with you? Like, change happens all the time.
Yeah, a lot of change. You know, some years different than others. I've been pretty blessed for 4 years or so to have pretty consistent stuff. And then this year, we just had a lot of interesting situations transpire. Jobs open. We had a killer job at the middle school open up at the in the library, you know, and I've got a really strong employee that went after that and got it, of course. And so that shakes up, you know, what we're doing at the building. And so it's just like, got a call at 5:30 last night and said, hey, I'm gone.
Yeah.
January 6th. And I'm like, all right, I got to figure that out, you know?
Yeah.
So
I lost a pretty important employee a couple weeks ago, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get... Then we hired, and that person still hasn't appeared, and it's been like 4 weeks since we originally lost the position.
Yep.
You know, so this mid-year stuff is just an added complexity to what we're trying to do while kids are in school.
Yep, definitely. All right, well, let's jump in here. So what we're doing here today is just talking about education, peeling back the curtain a little bit. And we're going to have kind of a union focus today. We've got our two union presidents in here, and we want to get with them. So we'll start with Letha and just do a quick overview, like your path in education, a quick intro, and kind of all the different things you do. Because you do a lot of things here in the school district, and then we'll get to the union stuff here in a minute.
Well, it all started a long time ago, probably... It's almost been 30 years now. I've actually been in education for 30 years. Wow. Started out with...
Congratulations.
I know. I wish I was old enough to retire and make that pay off, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I have two older children, and it just so happened that I lived in a small enough town. There wasn't a lot of daycare, and I had been working for H&R Block for a while, and I was looking to do something when my kids went to school. It's being a small community, I knew some of the people that were working there, and they said, hey, we're having an opening. Would you come in and apply? So I did. Thought it was a great idea to be on the same schedule with my kids. That turned into an 18-year stint. And over those first years, I wasn't even aware what my contract was. So my path to becoming involved in the union was out of the self-serving kind of a need. I wanted to know what my rights were because I felt like I'd been uninformed. We'd had some meetings where I didn't really understand what they were even telling me, and I felt like I'd kind of been wronged, and some of us were all being, you know, wronged without us even knowing what our recourse could be. So in that process, I started looking at my own situation and what I could do, what my rights were, and all that. Within my own situation, people were having their own situations and learning from my issue. So when they'd have a question, they started coming to me, and it happened more and more and more often, and I would just delve into all the information, you know, that I could to find out what the answer was or what I could help them with. And it turned out they had a meeting that I wasn't at, and they had nominated me to be their president. I came back to an email saying, hey, we hope you accept this nomination.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And then I was in it.
Never miss a meeting.
No, there never miss a meeting.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be a really good thing, because I think information is the way we make good changes, and not everybody will go make the time to even look at the things that they need to know about their own situation. And just listening to someone else kind of will be be relevant to you in one way or another.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So how long have you been union president or in a leadership role in the union now?
Off and on, probably 13 years, because there was a time when I think you can all remember a time in the news when unions didn't have that, you know, it was thought of as adversarial.
Yeah.
And for me, I wasn't in it for that. And if I couldn't work with an administration in this, it wasn't in this district, in another district that was going to be helpful or listen to us, I wasn't going to be able to, you know, take that off when I went home. And I just wasn't willing to do that with young kids. So I left for a while, and then the need came again, and I started back up. And this district has been, you know, very much a blessing in disguise, because I think that when you come to a table and you know that everyone at the table considers you an equal, the conversations can be much better. And so I feel like we're all making good progress, good change, and it's worthwhile to be part of the union right now.
Awesome. So how many years have you been in LeGrand School District?
12.
Okay.
There awesome. We go. Good stuff. All right. On my other side, we got Chris Levitt, president of our certified union. Chris, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, give us a little bit about your path kind of coming in here. You're a man of, has worn many hats over the years. So
This is my 15th year in education, 15th year with the school district. I went to school here in LeGrand, grew up here, graduated in 2005.
Funny story real quick. We have a 2004 LHS yearbook floating around at Island City.
Did he have a beard in that too?
He did not. There's a good, there's a really good
picture. I did have spiked hair though.
There's a really good picture of you in there, I think in the band room, going for it, and it's pretty cool. I should show you sometime, but you probably have it.
He actually used to be a bit of a delinquent and a disciplinary issue, particularly in this school. I went to school here at Willow, and I had some of the great teachers of the past, Pat Ogburn, Leslie Graham, John Pastello, who's no longer in this district and was an administrator and moved on. But graduated in 2005, got married, went to EOU, took a ridiculous number of music credits to get a music degree. My predecessor, Jim Howe, was diagnosed with Parkinson's and went down to halftime the year before I applied for the position, retired, got it, was great. And much like most new teachers, knew nothing about a contract, nothing about the union other than you need to join. Did that and got in trouble. I forget when, 2013, 14, someone there sat across from Scott Carpenter, who handed me a letter of expectation as it related to getting my own sub and making sure to follow the district financial policies as it comes to getting buses and going on band trips, which was just good education. It sparked a whole different thing for me. But that was my first interaction where it was like, oh, crap, got to get union representation. Who's that? You know, and I remember
Who's my go-to?
I reached out to Pat Desjardins, who was the president at the time. He called Larry Nicholson. Like, Larry called me, said, dress nice and show up early. And so we went through that whole process. That was fine. Of course, I was scared. But afterwards, shortly afterwards, I was like, you know, this union thing, I need to know more about being part of a union and what that means. And so Pat was the outgoing president, and Britta Scott was the incoming president. And I went to Pat, and I said, hey, how do I get involved in the union? And he goes, go talk to the new president. And so I go up to Britta, and I'm like, I think I want to be a rep, you know, just a low-level peon, like just involved. And she goes, no. You're going to be my lead bargaining negotiator. And this was 2015-16. We're going into the 2015-16 school year. That summer, we went to an OEA training that was supposed to train us on how to do bargaining. They canceled the training 2 days before we arrived. And so then we were like the only group that showed up for it. And so they were like, you're kind of on your own. We'll give you a couple of things, but you're basically on your own. So we did kind of our own training, came in, and we negotiated with Larry Glaze and Chris Panicky and the board that year. That was somewhat adversarial, as it had been in years previous, and I didn't really like the adversarial approach, but I did really enjoy bargaining. And from there, I went on to be Britta's vice president, grievance chair. Chris Wagner was our union president the year that George Mendoza took over as superintendent. I think that was 17-18. Mm-hmm. And when Chris was then the year later, 18-19, hired to be the dean of students, this extra admin position we had, he pulled me aside and asked if I'd be willing to finish out his term as president, so long as he got me a replacement the following year, which Dalton Sheets signed up for that. And I agreed to it. It was a very wild year. There was a lot going on that year. That was the year we implemented the strategic plan. We had a whole bunch of fun things that really allowed me opportunities to grow. And then I came back to doing president. I served for Kylie Goodwin's second term and then starting my own two-year term. So that's what kind of overview
great
led
path.
Me here.
Yeah, you've done a lot of stuff, right? Both
you have. You both brought up in what your comments this idea of not knowing the contract as an impetus to get involved in the union. Why do you think that is in terms of new employees or new teachers? They go through a teaching program or they enter a district. Why we do new teacher or new staff hiring, we tell them about the contract, we give them time with you, but the contract really seems to be nebulous until there's an event or a preceding event, right? So why do you think that is, and what strategies are you using as leaders to try to get that contract in front of people and help them to understand it?
Well, for me, the classified staff, when we get a new hire, we usually meet them in a room. We talk to them about having representation. Also, even if you don't become a member, we will be there to help support you through your contract, because the contract covers everybody. I do believe that when somebody comes into a place where they already know that there's somebody put in a position, they figure they've got it covered. Yeah. And so when an issue comes up, which can be, you know, humbling in a way, they just trust you so much. I meet most of the people that I haven't met before in a situation that they find very uncomfortable, and they don't know me, and they have to trust me through the process. So just having people feel that way about you, kind of, you know, this for me, my position's unpaid. Chris is, I think he gets a little something, but it's not going to be enough for what, you know.
No, it's pennies on the hour.
It's definitely, but I think it's basically knowing that someone else is already there and the system's kind of built in. And until there's an opening and no one's there, do people start really trying to learn, you know, what their need is?
Yeah. Chris?
I equate union contract lingo language as a lot of legalese. But there's also almost like an assumed familiarity or an assumed awareness. It's much like your insurance policy, right? On your car, on your home. You make a lot of assumptions about it that don't really come to fruition until you have an accident or until you have something that
until you find out that it doesn't.
And that's probably the best example I can come up with is like you know there's numbers involved, you think you're covered, you're hoping that it's not going to be one of those situations where they go, oh, this isn't something we cover, sorry for you. Yeah. And I would also equate it to board policy when it comes to new or aspiring administrators, where it's that almost blind spot or something you don't think about. I know there's a process, I know there's a procedure, but I don't know where in the veil or the void it is.
Yeah.
And contract is very much that way too. And so even somebody like myself who's read the contract multiple times, participated in writing it, given suggestions and bargained it four times, there's still parts of it I still don't feel like I know as well as I should.
Yeah, I'll never forget probably like my second week at LeGrand High School, like 2018. We had like an IEP meeting or I think it was a 504 meeting I scheduled, and I scheduled it just a little bit later, like maybe ran over by 15 minutes or something like that. And, you know, I'd been in the district maybe 3 weeks at the time, and Ann March, sweetest, you know, comes in so nice, just checking in, how we doing, you know, just like great approach. I was like, oh, she's so nice. She's here to like, you know, talk or whatever. Anyway, then I got that like contract, like here's the contract, and this is the page where it says that we got to have this at this time. And I was like, okay. And the way I just remember the way she did it was really humane and good, and it like a lot of great reading that evening. I was like, boy, I better read that, because I'm gonna mess that up, that's not gonna go well. So good stuff. Well, hey, we're gonna talk a little bit about just a few things, kind of quick hitters here. So any moment that sticks out in your career that you were kind of like, I was meant to do this, whether it be the union president or union rep or anything like that, or just in education, right? That moment kind of a like, man, I really like this. I'm meant to be here.
Well, for me, I don't know if there was a meant to be moment, but there definitely is now a sense of it's my responsibility until I make sure somebody else can take my place.
Mm.
So I guess for it's meant to be for me to be in this position to that extent. I mean, for right now, I do feel like I need to get better at preparing the next person because I'm not going to carry this torch forever. And it would be really remiss of me not to try to get some of what I know into someone else's head and heart, because this district is one of those, we're really lucky to work here, have people hear us when we come to the table, and you don't have to come with paperwork. It's basically an informal conversation first, which I really appreciate.
Nice. Good deal.
So for those of you that don't know, Letha works at our high school in the in-school suspension room. And so she has a following that's just a great group of kids that may have struggled with whether attendance or some expectation. Had a chance to work with Letha for a long, long time at the high school. And kids that usually would transition from my office to her office on occasion. And Letha did a fantastic job of just like coaching them. You know, they'd be with me for a couple minutes. They were with you for a couple minutes, Brett.
Yep.
And then Letha would get to spend the rest of the afternoon or the day with them coaching. And how, I guess, speak a minute to that, because most people don't know about what we do or that connection that we try to rebuild or to strengthen after the discipline happens. So, you know, what's it like to be that coach for those kids after that hard thing has happened?
I guess I never really thought about the similarities between being sort of a mediator in this position between the district and the employee. The same thing as the kids are going through those big emotions. They come in hot and they are unsure of what their options are. We want to make sure that they know that this is our responsibility to carry out the discipline, but it's their responsibility to make a path forward, and we're going to help them do that. And so we never leave it as you've just checked off your discipline. We want to make sure that you're leaving feeling better so that you're not likely to make those bad choices again because you don't feel like you have any options or any good plan moving forward. And I really appreciate when the kids come in and they can come in hot, and I try to give them a minute or two to let go of whatever, you know, they came in with, because I'm not aware of that until we have some time together. But by the end of it, I let them know that whatever happened out there doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave saying, hey, I thought I was really going to hate it in here, but I've learned a lot, and I didn't realize I had so much support. And they'll come back by and see me on days that they're not supposed to be in there, which is a pretty good feeling, because you don't know, you know, if you've made an impact on somebody until...
Yeah.
You know, or if ever, sometimes with these students. But it's kind of the same thing with an employee. When they're coming in and they're upset, you're kind of finding that path out of that situation for them. And I guess it's my whole day, you know, no matter what's going on. That's what we're doing.
Yep.
How about you, Chris? Any moment that you're like, man, I'm here. I'm supposed to be here.
I'll pick one, though. The reality is when someone gives you any positive affirmation that they appreciate what you're doing or that you've helped them in some way, it does feel good, and it does feel like you're fulfilling a role. I just want to help people, really.
Yeah,
is the reality. However, the example I'm going to choose sparked some controversy. That first year we bargained with Larry Glaze and others. Our perspective was to help the district to understand that the decisions in choosing a financial percentage to go up was impacting the lives of all staff. And so we encouraged staff members to line the halls as we invited the district office to come to the board meeting. This was when it was at the high school. And the board, the district negotiating team walked down first, and I had told everybody, you'll be cordial, you'll be friendly, you'll smile, you'll wave, you'll initiate conversation, you'll do all the right things. But you had 70 or so staff members with their families lining the hallways. And there wasn't anything wrong with that, although the district negotiating side didn't feel comfortable with it, but they did it. It wasn't until we walked down as the LEA negotiating team, there was cheers and clapping and shouts and all that stuff. That made you feel pretty good.
Yeah,
I got slapped with a letter of unfair labor practice after that, which we framed and hung up. But
yeah,
it feels good when you feel like you're advocating for or fighting for the needs of your members. The trick there is to do it in a way where you recognize that it's not one-sided. You have to work within the box that if you only fight for one side, the other side will have a deficit and there will be bitterness and resentment as a result. And so that was a good learning experience, but it also felt really good to recognize that we were advocating for the needs and wants of our members. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. Well, along the way here, there had to have been some hard moments. Briefly, any hard moment that might have stuck out and any lessons learned in that hard moment?
Oh, I have got to go with COVID. Because literally when you're in a position of being a representative, representing a contract or any other language that's written down, you actually have a book, like something to refer to. Yeah. In COVID, nobody knew what the answers were and nobody knew what was going to happen. Even if we tried something, we didn't know what the end result was going to be. And everybody had the same question. It wasn't one at a time. It was everybody. And it was around the clock. I'd be talking with George or Scott or whoever at 10 o'clock at night. Sometimes they'd be saying, hey, what about this? Because we were grasping. Yeah. But I do feel like in the end, with all of our situations that we had to work with, that we came to the table and found out that we could work together through this because it was everybody's problem.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was afraid. You know, nobody really knew how it was going to end up. And we made that do no harm thing that we like to say all the time really work for us, because I think we had the least amount of harm through that we could possibly get.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anything hard stick out, Chris?
Yeah, the year I took over president for Chris Wagner in 2018-19 was the same year that the Supreme Court Janus ruling came out. I think it was Janus versus the state of Illinois or Indiana or one of those. But essentially, it removed any compulsory union membership requirements, which our state didn't necessarily have, but it just brought to light that. And I believe that was the year we went from 100% membership and started to decline. And that was also the year that I personally felt that the union really started politicizing specific issues, which really creates division within a group. Rather than focusing on the things that make us the same, rather than focusing on the challenges that we can all get behind, we noticed a decision to move into something that would fracture, which now in retrospect, they go, well, what has happened? You know, and it's like, well, it's pretty obvious. But trying to maintain the membership and hold the ship together in the middle of a season that really we haven't completely recovered from as a country and as a union entity, really, where there's that fracturing. But just pointing out, like, there's some good things here, regardless of where in the aisle you stand. There's some things we can all agree to or work towards here. And the stuff that we disagree on, like, we can navigate that too. The big thing with union membership is particularly your access to legal advice and lawyers, which 2 hours with a lawyer covers all your union stuff for the year. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. But as we continue to see more things happening in our country and in our state and in our local community, I recommend the importance of union membership and the protections that it provides.
There you go. Good stuff. All right. Well, is there any like quick hitter moment that you felt like you were on top of Everest? You were just like, man, that was awesome. Love that. Anything stand out, Letha?
For me, I'm assuming you're talking about peaks and valleys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
For me, those things are always evolving. I can't really think of one. Everything's so evolutionary right now with our language and just our, especially in an election year, things are right now kind of in waiting mode. People are kind of trying to see what's going to happen next. But for a peak and valley, it would be almost situational. Every situation has a peak and every situation has a valley. because we come to the table with usually an issue that we have to solve. And the issue is most often resolved with each party getting what they need out of it. We very rarely have like a meetup where we say, hey, you know, you're not getting anything out of this, because we come and we make a resolution together, which I really appreciate. So for me, the peak would have to be in the process of that everybody at the table is heard and that everybody can kind of hear what the need is and that there's a response to that need.
Nice. Good deal. Any peaks for you, Chris?
I, not any specific ones. I mean, probably the most impactful thing I feel like I get to participate in as a union member really is the negotiations and the bargaining. That's really the spot that I feel most impactful and probably the most joy from. The presidency allows me an opportunity to kind of steer the boat just a little bit and kind of affect some other things that we do. But, I can't really think of any one specific thing that I would say is a peak moment. I really enjoy the conversations I get to have with a variety of different people. Union officership, much like being a band director and even to some degree a school counselor, affords me an opportunity to have conversations with people outside my building. And we've got a great staff at the middle school, but you know, I have a wonderful working relationship with staff in every building, with the district office. You know, and I feel like when I say hi to somebody, it's genuine, and when they say hi back, it's genuine as well. And for me, that's the peak. I love the community we have and the interactions I get to have, and union leadership affords me more opportunities to say hi.
If there was a message from your union to our community, you know, the LeGrand community, what would that be?
For me, it would be that I have become over the years more aware of how our decisions affect not only the situation that we're in at the table, but it affects our employment, it affects our students, it changes sometimes how parents go about their daily business and businesses in our community. Like, it's so much bigger than that one situation. Yeah. And all of our situations tie into, you know, what we do next. And I just appreciate that we do have that consideration when we come to the table. Those words are spoken, saying that this is not just going to affect this situation. It's bigger than that. And those entities are often brought into conversations, like our meetings that we have where we bring in community members. We try to get everybody's point of view so that we really know where we're coming from when we put something on paper.
Yeah. Chris?
I would say your local teachers union is not this mafia, gangster, whatever that you might think it is at the state or the national level, right? Like, our influence and impact is very limited. Our focus is very specific. Our role and our job is to improve the quality of life of our teachers, and thereby improving those who are on the ground, in the trenches with students, improving the lives of students as well. And our approach to that is biggest bang for the buck. If we can impact the lives of teachers, it's going to directly impact the lives of students. And so that's really our focus.
Yeah.
I love it. Great focus. Anything quick you're excited about for the future?
Well, I have a sophomore at the high school. And so my future goals are like very layered. I'm an employee at the district. I have a student in the district, and I'm also union representation. For me, I just want to make sure that the conversation is kept open and the doors are like a two-way entry. Whenever anybody needs to start a conversation, we're welcomed, and I really appreciate that about the district. And we're building, I guess, our everybody's career starts with these people that we're having in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And all these decisions that we're making are helping them get that good education so that they can be a good part of our community as a worker or a neighbor or, you know, a parent. So I think it's all kind of blending for me. I'm kind of in a little bit of it. So
there you go. Anything you're excited about, Chris, in the future?
I can't point to any one specific thing that's hanging out there as a, boy, I can't wait for that to happen. But really, it's more about the journey than the destination. Every year that I've been a union president can easily be summed up as a year where we dealt with this struggle and I learned this skill. And this year already has the things that we're dealing with this year and the skill we're learning. And so as this is the beginning of a 2-year term for me, halfway through the first year, I think I've figured out what the message and the learning or the lesson is for this year, and I'm excited to finish that. And I don't know how eager I am to figure out what next year's challenge will be, but we'll be ready to rise to it.
Yeah, hopefully it's nice and simple.
You know, before we move on, we are lucky as a community to have the leadership in the union that we do. We get to come to a table, and I'll just say from the district side, just so appreciative that we get to come to the table, authentically engage about a problem, and really be able to be creative, be transparent, be able to talk about what issues might be connected to that problem, and be able to craft a path forward. And that, as you guys work with Superintendent Mendoza, that we're able to do that. I think every year has its own challenges, and the tone or the tenor of what we can or can't do changes, either financially or staff-wise or otherwise. But it's always been awesome to be able to come to the table and to be able to problem solve through that process. So I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do and how you do it. We're lucky to have you.
Yeah, no doubt there. Appreciate you. Want to dive into an acronym?
Well, you know, it's only like,
I feel like it's pretty obvious.
You know, obvious. LEA, Chris, you want to tell us what LEA stands for?
So LEA stands for the LeGrand Educators Association.
Okay, and that's the formal name of the LeGrand chapter of the...
So if you're part of the LeGrand Educators Association, you are bound and compulsory required to be part of the Oregon Educators Association, the OEA, or the National Educators Association, the NEA.
So dual enrollment.
Triple
enrollment. You have to be a three. And then OSEA, Letha, you want to tell us what OSEA is?
Oregon School Employees Association.
Okay.
And what that means is that's everybody who works in a school district that's not admin or certified. So there's a lot of different ways that we could identify as a classified employee.
Most of the most important people, right?
Yes.
The cooks, the secretaries.
Yeah. If one of our
custodial
areas didn't show up, the school would have to close down.
That's true.
Yes.
It's glue that holds it together. Good deal. Well, thank you guys for being here. We're going to do a quick shout out. I just feel like with you two sitting here, I think I want to shout out just knowing and working with you guys in the past, shout out all the people that run an ISS classroom, right? It's no small task. Anybody that could run a band and be a band director or a counselor at a middle school with 450, 500 kids in it. I just want to shout out the amount of work that goes in to what you do normally, and then you come for more, right? And Letha's I learned today that you're unpaid. I did not know that today. So I'm man, okay. And so just the amount of time and effort you guys put into this, outside of that, I just want to shout out everybody that steps up and does more than just all the other things required of you on a daily basis. So pretty cool.
Well, I don't know if Letha... I'm sure you would agree with this too, but for those who've never been in this role, there's a lot of shout outs for the other people in our lives that support us in this as well, whether it's, you know, on the personal side, the spouses and family members and stuff too. But a lot of time it's our coworkers. You know, I can tell you as a union president who works at the middle school alongside Jessica Frazier, who's the other school counselor there, and, you know, my administrative team, Deanna Williams and Chris Wagner, I'm out of the building sometimes a lot. And as a result of that, those people have to then cover my absence. And so there's also a lot of appreciation that in order for me to run my role and to do my job, this supplementary job, other people essentially have to cover for my absence. So I wouldn't say that it's just a shout out for those who do the job, but for those who support those who are
Love that. Hey, we'll end on that. No, that's a great one. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with us. And, yeah, we'll get you out of here and get you home.
Thank you much.
Thank you.